Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show
will talk Packers, Brewers, and Bucks.
Every day. This show will talk sports.
Every day. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily.
With Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome in, Hour 2, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM, The Fan. Chicago Charlie use it, other side of the glass. Still to come, Jake Kokorowski, a Badger extra in Wisconsin State Journal, talking about Badger spring football practice and all the changes being made there. Huge expectations last year for the Badger football program. They lived up to none of them. We'll get his thoughts on what they look like now. That comes up at 4:40. Going to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers right now. That game is over and wrapped up. And let's go over some of the stuff that happened in that game. William Contreras is, dare I say, having an MVP-type year? Is that overstepping, Charlie?
I don't think so at all. I think he's been by far one of the best players in the MLB this year.
He has been unbelievable. And yet again, runners on base for William Contreras there in the third inning, and this happened.
Contreras down the left field line. Terang scores. Dunn is on his horse. He's being waved around. The throw home, not in time. Contreras comes through again.
Another big two out. Double down the line to score two runs. Boy, Eflin almost able to get out of that inning, but William Contreras once again driving in a couple of big runs with two outs. Boy, he's done a lot of that.
He is just so good right now. 2-0. Put the Brewers up there in the bottom of the third. Contreras comes up big. It stayed 2-0. And then until the bottom of the sixth inning, and this dude here ended up having a monster day.
2-0 drive left center. Did he get enough? Absolutely. Three-run bomb, Willy Adames. Starting to open things up in the fifth inning.
And that was 3-0 Brewers after that Willy Adames, a solo shot. Willy Adames, however, was not done. No, he was not. To the seventh, after a Perkins had an RBI double to make it 4-0, Adames stepped to the plate with two runners on, and here we go again.
Adames, center field, Rosarena back again, and it's over his head and gone again! A two-homer game for Willy Adames. Fifth career multi-homer game for Willy Adames. He's got three in the series.
Woo-wee! Willy Adames starting to heat up a little bit as it starts to warm up a little bit. Roof was open at American Family Field as well. Brewers go on to win this one 7-1 today. And here you go. I was just having this conversation with my buddy last night about Colin Ray. And he's like, yeah. And they need a number two pitcher in this rotation. They need a number three pitcher in this rotation. And Colin Ray is neither one of them. And we were looking at his numbers. Like, two of the last three games, not all that great. Well, he shut me up today. Colin Ray, 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs, couple of walks, 5 strikeouts. ERA now 2.67 after that one. Uribe did end up pitching and gave up a run and a couple of walks in this one. But overall, Brewers, a solid effort. They win the series 7-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays, which was a beautiful thing after what happened. Now you know what's coming, right? You do know what's coming. Tomorrow is an off day for the Brewers. And then they get to go down to Chicago to take on the traitor, Council, and his Chicago Cubs team. I almost call them the Chicago Tubbs. The Cubs team this weekend for the first time. And Murphy, Pat Murphy, is not going to be there on Friday. He's not going to even get to manage the first game. This whole thing that happened yesterday absolutely infuriated me. So where to start? Well, let's start here early in the game.
It's where it's coming from. So
that's well hit by Jose Siri, and the Rays are on the board. Wow, what a shot by Siri. His second home run of the year, and that's a tape measure job.
That's from Bally's Florida. Is that where it's from? Yep. Bally's Florida. Okay, so Bally Sports Florida. So this is the thing. He hits the home run, kind of puts his head down, a little showboating, whatever you want to call it, and then is on his way. And nobody thought anything about it. Charlie, did you think anything about it?
Looks like a pretty tame home run celebration to me.
I didn't think anything about it. I wasn't going, oh boy, better drill that dude next time for showing you up, Freddy Peralta. You better hit that guy. No. Mm-mm. Now, what? One thinking about it at all. Not at all. So then you fast forward to the game, a 3-0 count. Peralta is cruising. It's got great pitch count. It looks like he's going to go at least into the eighth inning. Everything is going well. And then this happened.
Going the old traditional signs, Contreras. Ooh, and he hit Siri. 3-0 mistake, and he got Siri in the leg. Second hit batter for Freddy Peralta. And the umpire's out in front, and the umpires are going to come in and have a discussion. Are they going to issue warnings? Chris Guccione, I just read those lips saying we can't have that.
Warnings, that would have made too much sense. Way too much sense for Guccione.
So Siri was the one who hit the home run off of Freddie back in the third inning.
That's a 3-0 pitch that got him in the leg.
And they just toss him? They just tossed Freddy Peralta?
Labbering is shocked.
No warnings?
Shocked.
Now that's wow. Not okay.
Yeah, well.
And here's Pat Murphy coming out. Yeah. There's no way you can eject him after one hit batter.
He's going to lose his mind.
Well, there's no way Murphy was not going to get ejected. I promise you that much.
If he threw him out, I mean, that is really bad.
And Pat Murphy just got tossed.
It took less than 30 seconds. Less than 30 seconds it took Murphy to get ejected.
I can understand a warning, fine, I get that. But to have an ejection of a starting pitcher after just one hit batter on a 3-0 pitch, that seems excessive.
Yeah, damn right it's excessive. Everything about Guccione is excessive. Everything. Now, again, I don't want to get personal and say maybe he was the kid that got picked on in school all the time and now he's taking out his frustrations on everybody else in his life. But maybe. That could be what happened with Guccione. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know his background or how he grew up or what his deal was. And as we've talked about before, sometimes guys are just having bad days. And it gets taken out on everybody. Guccione's response of not issuing warnings and deciding just to toss him. Do you know why he tossed him? Because it wasn't a breaking pitch. That's why. If he would have hit him with a curveball, Guccione wouldn't have done anything. Maybe it's a warning. But because it wasn't a breaking pitch, and the ball, when you watch it, it tails in, right? The ball has a tail. It's tailing left to right and hits him in the leg. The ball was not on a beeline at the dude's ribs. The ball started in... tailed in to the pitch, into the hitter. Why on earth would you think Freddy Peralta was thinking to himself, yep, I'm going to drill him, get kicked out. It's okay, though. It's fine. Nobody was even talking about that possibility. It wasn't even a thing. It wasn't even like Peralta and Siri got beef from last year. Or this has been going on for 3 years and these two dudes hate each other. Right? That there's a backstory that leads up to what happened in the game. If that was the case, hey, I got you, Guccione. You're the man. You made the right decision. Ain't no backstory. There ain't nothing. Nothing at all. And I'll give Peralta credit. Because if that would have been me, I would have lost my you-know-what all over that dude. Peralta just stood there, kind of stunned, like, he really just kicked me out? He really just kicked me out. And then Murphy has to come back out. After the night before, when Murphy told both those umps that they were dead wrong on how they interpreted a rule, now he's got to come back out there after his guy gets tossed when he never should have. So now what happens? So now here comes today. And now here come the rulings on what is all going to go down with the players that were involved in this. And the coaches, for that matter, that were involved in this. Pat Murphy suspended 2 games and is serving it beginning today. He is not appealing. So he's not going to manage Friday in Chicago against counsel. Freddie Peralta got suspended 5 games. Five. The reason it's 5 is because they want him to miss a start. Nah, I'll go with 6-man rotation. He's not missing a start. Screw you. He's pitching. We'll figure it out. We'll have a bullpen day, but he's going to freaking pitch. To heck with you. I'm not skipping him a start and having it be 10 days in between pitching for him. Nope. Screw you. Abner Uribe suspended 6 games. Uribe was out there today. And now, today, apparently, there was an issue with his yellow glove. Last night, it was a blue glove. Tonight, how many gloves does he have and how many different colors does he have in it? Like, does he have the rainbow of gloves that he carries around with him?
I'm not sure. I've seen the yellow one a lot, but I've never seen the blue one before.
Yeah, he had the light baby blue one last night. That was a pretty cool one. I like that. I can't stand the color yellow, so I am out on the yellow glove. I don't like it. But the nitpicky crap that's been going on in this series is just mind-boggling. So Uribe suspended 6. He's appealing. I don't see how Abner Uribe gets very much less in all of this. This is how that played out later. Now, Peralta's already been kicked out. Uribe's in the game a couple innings later. I think it was the 8th inning, and all hell breaks loose.
On the ground, first base, Hoskins flips to Uribe. One up, one down. Siri retired. Uribe and Siri exchanging some words, and here we go. Oh, boy, that's not what you want to see. And here we go.
That was great. That's when he threw the open hand punch or slap or whatever he threw at Siri. That's when Lever's like, oh, no, we don't want to see that. Oh, not that.
Bullpen's empty. Abner Uribe. As soon as he got to first base, Siri kept going.
Oh, that was good. Highlight courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. I tweeted out because I was watching the Bucks game. I don't have two TVs in my living room like most of you people do. So forgive me. I only have one. So I get a text message. Did you just see that in the Brewers game? I was like, oh. Flip back over to the Brewers game and see the replay. I'm like, holy crap. And I tweeted out. Yeah, good thing you kicked out Peralta and not Siri. You made the right choice there, Guccione. Way to go, buddy. You left the instigator in there to begin with. And then he ends up getting into a fight. He kicked out the wrong guy. Either way, I'm so glad we're done with this crew. I am so glad we are done with this crew. But as a fan base, I want to know something. Like, how frustrating is it for you fans when umpires or refs kind of make themselves the show? Because it feels like to me it's becoming more and more of an issue as we go forward in life here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was like this in the 80s, and I just simply don't remember. Very well could be. But it is absolutely ridiculous. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also get all of us at 1250 AM The Fan. Also can go on the 1250 AM The Fan Facebook page where our guy Charlie is. So driving you nuts about how the referees and the umpires are kind of becoming the show in professional sports, especially here in this Brewers series. You had Aaron Judge's hand going up. They don't call it interference. That was ridiculous. The catcher gets hit by Bauer's bat as he's sliding forward into the batter's box, and Bauer's gets penalized for it, as does Freeland getting sent back to third. That screwed the Brewers. And now this whole thing last night. It just does not stop. Sean in Wanakee, you're next on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM. The Fan, served up by Wendy's. What's up, Sean?
Yes, it was a heck of a thing to see it. And then today, Guccione went and changed Vieira's glove because it was the wrong color. A glove that he used last night. And then today, I guess under natural illumination, because the roof was open, somehow the color changed.
Tampa Bay complained. That's why what happened.
Well, there you go. And then, total ump show. I can remember in the 80s this sort of stuff happening, but we didn't have social media either then. So we had to, open a window and yell out to the neighbor that, Hockley stinks and hates the Packers. It was total upshow. What I liked best about all this, because, we're going to have suspensions and whatnot and all that kind of thing, Crash Davis would have been proud at the way Uribe took his swings at Siri, because he used an open hand. We don't need him getting suspended and breaking his hand, for crying out loud. We don't need Devin Williams type situation of him hitting a wall or something like that. Use the open hand. You won't hurt your hand. If it would have landed Siri, it hurts to get boxed on the ear like that. I can tell you, it hurts bad. And that's just one man's opinion on all that, but it'll be nice to hopefully get a new crew.
I'm interested, Sean. You think, I never really thought about asking anybody this, but do you think in the professional ranks, they teach you how to fight? Meaning, hey, if you're going to do this, don't go in with a closed fist. If you're going to go in with a slap versus a closed fist. As far as based on penalty and whether or not the penalty is more or less based on if it's a closed fist, a guy getting decked. So, for instance, if Chicago Charlie punched me, I'm not getting up. I'm knocked out, unconscious. It's all done. If Chicago Charlie slaps me across the face, probably the same result, but I have a little better chance of maybe retaining consciousness if he were to slap me versus punch me. So would the penalty or ruling be different based on how bad I'm hurt physically? I think to a degree the answer is yes.
I don't know. It seems like because it didn't really look like too many strikes were landed, and the suspension was fairly steep, I thought. So I think they're going more on intent. And so league-wide, it's probably, they have a standard that they look at for the suspensions and whatnot. However, organizationally, it might be a good idea for a coach or manager to pull a guy aside, especially if we got Murphy. I mean, Murphy knows the striking game. Just pull him aside and if you get into a beef, we got – please try to protect your hands as best you can. Maybe use an elbow. If you have Tommy Pham, I know he is a high-level Muay Thai guy. He could probably work a guy in a clinch and rain some devastating knees on a guy in the midsection, which are no fun either. I've had that happen to me. I think the league doesn't care about how you land your strikes, but I think organizationally – probably a good idea because we saw what happened. Guys are falling on top of each other. Would be very easy to punch somebody on the top of their head and break your hand and be out several weeks.
Yeah, it's a good point, Sean. Thanks for the call. I never thought about it. Like, when I see a brawl happen, I'm just entertained watching people beat the crap out of each other. I'm just kind of naturally entertained by that such thing. I never really thought of whether or not they should be going about it in a certain way to protect their hands if they're a pitcher or whatever the case may be. Now, you all in football, you people are stupid. I don't understand throwing fists at a helmet. That one, I have never understood. Watching dudes throwing hands at a dude with a helmet on. What are we doing? Like, what is the, what are you hoping to accomplish? Because you're not going to do much of anything. If you put a helmet on me, I feel I'm okay against Charlie if I get to wear a helmet. Hey, you can hit me in the head a lot. I think I'll be all right. I don't think he can knock me out with a helmet on. So why do y'all do that for in football?
I don't know if it's everybody that does that. There's some very not smart people that go about it, but when I played football, there's two things that coaches did teach us about, like, if you're going to get into a fight. It's that to leave your helmet on.
Yes, good idea.
And then always hold back the other person. Don't hold back your teammate.
Hold back the other team.
So that if, for some reason, people keep fighting, then your teammate's not the one getting beat up.
Well, that makes good sense. But meanwhile, you look like the guy that's trying to initiate peace within exactly. the fight because you're trying to hold the other guy back. Yeah, that makes... Yeah, I can get down with that. That makes a lot of sense. But it was never to the point of kind of how they want you to fight or, you know, don't use a closed fist or anything like that.
No, and I'm sure they probably don't do that even at the professional level for these baseball guys.
No, they're grown men. I would imagine you want to fight? Go ahead. Go do your thing. Good luck to you. You better not break anything and be out anytime it's a significant time. Because that's the thing, too, right? So Uribe gets all mad. It goes to swing on Siri. Did you see what happened? Hoskins got trampled. He went down face first. He said he got stepped on, he thought, in that thing. But Hoskins could have got hurt in that thing, depending on how many guys are running over him or falling on him or whatever else. And all of a sudden, you're out your first baseman for an extended period of time because Siri and Uribe can't control their emotions at that point.
Well, and it was Uribe who pushed over Hoskins in the video, too, when you're watching, because Hoskins is trying to, like, he's, like, has his back to him, trying to hold him back, and then right. Uribe just shoves him.
Yep. So. Just nuts. Absolutely nuts. All right, asking you, you want to vent about these umpires in this Brewers series? We're here for you. Do you think these umpires and referees, especially in the NBA, I don't know if it's as much in the NFL, maybe you disagree, have become too much of the show in professional sports like we've seen here in this Brewers series and even in the Yankees series when they screw that one up? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. You can also hit us up on Facebook. Charlie, they're interacting with you on Facebook, reading your Facebook messages as well. And don't forget, with Wendy's, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. The Bucks won yesterday, which means you win today at Wendy's. Within 24 hours of every Bucks victory, your chance to get yourself a free small frosty at Wendy's, chocolate or orange dreamsicle, while they decide not to run orange dreamsicle anymore. At some point, your vanilla is going to come back, and then you're going to miss orange dreamsicle, and you're going to be very mad about life because you missed having it. And I'm telling you, you do not want to miss orange dreamsicle. So chocolate or orange dreamsicle, free small frosty at Wendy's. Just tell them, hey, Bucks won last night. I think I get myself a free frosty today. Please. Always say please. And you're on your way to enjoying the rest of your day with a free frosty. So go do that.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now.
Can you break down what happened when Freddie got ejected, what you saw and what the umps did?
Yeah, you know, I think it's best if I just don't say anything right now. I mean, that's the best way. I'm not trying to lawyer up or anything like that. I think it's best if we just leave it. There'll be a lot of commentary on it. I'm sure the league will look at it fully. I hope they get to look at it. I hope they have an audio of the thing, and then we'll just see what happens.
Where Freddie was so calm, though. Like, he didn't react, really. You know, it's like there were more reactions around him. Do you think, like, he understood why?
I'm not sure what went on with all that. I really am not. You know, all I can say is I just I'm glad nobody got seriously hurt, and you know, there's a lot of emotion in the game, and I think the way the game ended last night, there's a lot of emotion, and I think it it lends itself to more emotion, you know, and then things happen between people. You don't know the history of everything. All I know is that I'm better off not saying anything because I need to think through it and talk through it and see what really happened and get all the facts before I represent the Brewers by making any comments or anything like that.
Smart, smart, smart. No question. That was a smart decision, obviously, by Pat Murphy. What he brings up about the backstory, I think there is a backstory between Siri and Uribe. Because Uribe, after the game, pretty much said Siri said something that had nothing to do pertaining to the game. And that's what got Uribe mad, and he whipped around and came back. Siri, through his translator, pretty much said it had something to do with, you know, why did you bump me at first base? And then he, like, Uribe kind of flipped his lid. So they're both telling two different stories. Uribe saying it has something to do with not even being necessarily on the baseball field. And Siri saying it has to do with them kind of bumping into each other at first base. Kevin Cash last night, the manager of the Rays, had this to say.
Tell us your perspective on what happened there at the end with Uribe and Jose Siri.
Yeah, look, I think that the ground ball happened. They might have made contact with each other when Jose was walking back. I think Jose asked him, why did you do that? And then to my knowledge, a punch was thrown. But I'm sure the guys will have more to say on it. I actually have not gone back and looked at it on video yet.
And then maybe the top of the sixth, they hit Siri with the pitch and then a couple ejections. Just what was your perspective on that?
I mean, look, Siri got a hold of one. Peralta had really thrown the ball well up to that point, commanding the baseball extremely well. 3-0, it raises suspicion.
So let me see if I got this right. So do we think that Peralta got to 3-0 on purpose so he could set it up to look like he lost control on that at bat and then drilled him? That's what we think happened? I shouldn't say we. That's what they think happened? They think Peralta intentionally got to 3-0 and then drilled him. With a ball, I can get dotted this dude in the ribs. That's not what happened. He didn't throw a ball up around his face. That's not what happened. As I said earlier, if he hits him with a breaking pitch, he does not get kicked out of that game. Maybe Guccione comes out and says warnings. Maybe. Because when they brought up to Guccione after the game about the other two guys that got hit in the game, his response was, oh, well, those were breaking pitches. Well, that's okay. So you can hit guys all night long with breaking pitches, and Guccione ain't going to bat an eye. I don't care. Let 10 guys get hit with breaking pitches. I'm not going to do nothing. Who cares? But if it's not a breaking pitch, that's where Guccione says, nope, not happening. Not on my watch. Out you go. No warning. What would have been the issue with giving a warning? Can you give me the downside? Like, that's, you get a pool reporter that gets to go talk to this umpire. And I don't know who it was. But whoever it was, that would have been my question to Guccione. Can you give me the downside of just giving Peralta a warning? Like, what's the negative? What's the worst case scenario? If you give Peralta the warning, you think that Tampa Bay comes out knowing that they're going to get kicked out if they throw at somebody, that they're going to come out and throw a fastball, being a Brewer, and then you're going to get that guy kicked out and you're going to have a fight. Was that the worst case scenario? If you just give him a warning? Because I got news for you. If they wanted to come back and bean somebody after Peralta beaned Siri, even though Peralta got kicked out, they still could have just came out and beaned somebody and got their pitcher kicked out. Either way, if retaliation was going to come, warning or not, it would have came if they wanted to retaliate. If Kevin Cash wanted that to happen, it could have happened. Or if some pitcher had hair up his butt and wanted to come out there and do something about it, he could have done something about it regardless of what happened to Peralta, warning or not. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're right. I mean, the exact quote from Guccione after the game to the pool report, he said, there are three options. You can do nothing, you can warn, and you can eject. Those are our three options. In this situation where we got together as a crew and determined that it was intentional, our only option is to eject in this situation.
No! Their only option is not! That is just BS! I'm sorry! Levering's in the booth and going, well, okay, I guess they're going to issue warnings. Rock, he's in the booth. Man played 100 years in Major League Baseball. He didn't go, well, they're probably going to kick him out, Jeff. He didn't see anything like that. He got kicked out, and even Rock was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. It's horrible. And then Major League Baseball, of course, runs up behind their umpires and says, yep, we agree. And out they go. I really hope this stuff stops for the Cubs series. I don't really think I can take another one of these things for the Cubs series. I really don't. I don't think I can go through this again. Coming up next, I want to get into this Cubs series that's coming up on Friday. Just briefly. Just curious about something concerning this Cubs series. With Craig Counsell now as the manager of the Chicago Cubs, do the Cubs turn into the team you hate the most from the state of Illinois? Do the Cubs now become the team you hate the most? Because I think Bears have been one for quite some time. Then maybe the Cubs, then the Bulls, then the White Sox. Nobody cares about the Blackhawks, I don't think. Well, I mean, there are a lot of Angel fans. I don't care about the Blackhawks. Do the Cubs become the team, or have they become the team, with Counsell there, as the number one team that you hate from the state of Illinois? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM The Fan, served up by Wendy's. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan, C. Sparky Fiver with you. Chicago Charlie, it's going to be a fun topic with him. Other side of the glass, Charlie Usen, producer of the show. Brewers and Cubs start a series coming up on Friday. So we have a day off tomorrow, and then it's Brewers and Cubs on Friday. My question is, with that Trader Counsell as manager of the Chicago Cubs now, for you as a sports fan, are the Chicago Cubs now the number one hated team in your sports fandom as we sit right now? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. The reason I bring it up is when Brett Favre ended up with the Vikings were everyone's number one hated team. As long as Brett was there, the Vikings were the team everyone hated the most, because of how it all ended with Brett and the Packers. That's just how it was. Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets, like Favre was. Nobody cares about the Jets. Doesn't matter. If Aaron Rodgers somehow found his way back to the division and was quarterbacking the Lions, let's say, after this year, and Jared Goff goes on his way, and let's say the Lions end up with Aaron Rodgers, then more than likely the Lions would be the number one hated team in the division, more so than the Bears or the Vikings, if Rodgers was there. Again, because of how it ended. There isn't really a comparison to Bucks and Bulls other than Del Harris, who was the coach of the Bucks and then eventually the coach of the Bulls. But there wasn't that same type of emotional attachment to Del Harris as a coach as there was to Favre and Rodgers as players for the Green Bay Packers. So that comparison, not the same. This one here with Craig Counsell, I think there's a huge emotional attachment between fans and the man himself, Craig Counsell. Because again, this is the guy who said over and over again, hey man, I'm just like you. I grew up in the state, played ball here. Got to go hang out at County Stadium with my dad who worked there. Just like you. Brewers fan, diehard Brewers fan, dreamed of playing for the Brewers. Then he got to manage the Brewers. And just like you, he turncoated and went over and managed the Cubs. Just like you would. Or not. Either way, my feelings towards the man, as you are well aware, are of disdain and anger towards Craig Counsell. And if I answer the question, it's undoubtedly the Chicago Cubs, as long as he is there. As long as he is the manager, they will be the number one hated team on my list. guaranteed across all sports. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, you pick it. They are target number one. Enemy number one is that Chicago Cubs team managed by the trader. Now, I'm curious by how many of you think the same way, or if you all think there's a different team, for your own personal reasons, that you hate more than the Cubs. Again, it can be an NBA team, NFL team, MLB team, doesn't matter. I just want to know where this council-led Cubs team ranks for you in terms of teams that you dislike as a sports fan. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. When Chicago Charlie started as my producer, he laid the lay of the land out for me for his fandom as a Chicago fan, even though he went to Brookfield Central and grew up in Wisconsin and still lives in Waukesha. He is, you know, screwed up because his father was a Chicago sports fan because he grew up outside of Wrigley, influenced his poor son, ruined his life. And now he's stuck rooting for all these teams, which is really an unfortunate thing. Nothing that Charlie could have controlled. That's why I can't be mad at Charlie. Having said that, put the lay of the land out there for everybody listening, for you as a Chicago sports fan, as far as the Wisconsin teams and how you rank them.
For like, as a Chicago fan, ranking my most hated Wisconsin teams, it's 100% the Packers. The Packers are at the top of that list for me.
And then what, the Cardinals? St. Louis Cardinals,
yeah,
or is it the Brewers? Or
probably the
else?
Cardinals. I just feel like the Brewers, as of recent, I think they're starting to climb up there just because it's starting to get more competitive between the two teams. But I would still have, it would be the Packers and the Cardinals second. And probably a jumble of the rest of the teams. Brewers third. The Cubs and Pirates have some beef too, though. That's the other thing. So if we're talking about just teams in the division, Pirates might be up there as well.
The Pirates?
Yeah.
Really?
Ugh.
See, we've had our issues with the Pirates over the course of time with the Brewers. Brewers used to have the sweep suits that they wore after a series in Pittsburgh, and then after that, it was curtains. Every time Milwaukee played Pittsburgh, it was horrible. It wasn't pretty, and the Brewers had their problems with them. We've had some scuffles. Remember the the one Pirate player knocked over the sausage in the sausage race. That was a whole big thing as well. So, yeah, there's been some run-ins between the Brewers and Pirates. But in this division, I would say it's definitely Cardinals or Cubs 1, depending. Like, when La Russa was managing the Cardinals were definitely the number one hated team by the Brewer fans in this division. Not even close. And players like Jonathan Lucroy and those guys all hated La Russa too and hated the Cardinals and talked about it. Like, those two teams, when you had Pujols and those guys and you had T-Plush and Lucroy and those guys, they, Nigel Morgan, that's who T-Plush is. Those two teams realistically and really disliked each other. That was a thing. My thing with this Brewers-Cubs series that starts Friday in Chicago is Pat Murphy and Council have been boys forever. There's going to be no disdain between those two. It could be hugs and handshakes and asking how the families are and blah, blah, blah. That's what this is going to be on Friday, right? As far as bad blood between the two teams players-wise, impossible. There's too many new faces on both teams. Pete Crow Armstrong is playing over there. Michael Bush, who they got in a deal in the offseason, he's their starting first baseman, playing out of his mind right now. He's a new face. The Brewers have all a bunch of kids up from the minors playing up at the Major League roster this year. There are no more Zambranos. There are no more Aramis Ramirez's, who actually played for both teams. None of those guys. William Contreras, he's not there. Or Wilson Contreras, he's not there anymore. There really isn't anybody left from a Brewers fan perspective to have beef with as far as the on-the-field item goes, right? There aren't those guys that you hate. Dansby Swanson? What's there to hate about Dansby Swanson? Other than he married my favorite girl soccer player. Other than that, what's there really to hate about Dansby Swanson, right? Who else is on that team? I don't really think there's anybody there. You know, people hated Javi Baez. Hated Javi Baez. He's long gone, right? Rizzo, Brian, I don't know if anybody really ever hated Rizzo or Brian, but those would be two other guys that were really good back in the day that Brewers fans may have not have liked. So now if you're going to get down and really dislike the Chicago Cubs, it's going to be because of Council. That's it. And both teams are battling for first place at this point. So from that perspective, there is a battle between the two for supremacy in the division or whatever, even though it's early in the season. Now, they come to Milwaukee for the first time, not for a couple of weeks. May 27th is their first game at American Family Field. You know how bad that's going to be? If you all don't like Council now, and you all go, oh, he's so nice. He was so nice. He signed a ball for me years ago, and he was such a nice young gentleman. Oh, fine. But if you think Cub fans invaded our park before, you haven't seen anything yet. With Council managing, you're going to see Council Cub jerseys all over that park all weekend long. They're going to be walking in downtown Milwaukee. They're going to be at the bars you want to go to and you're not going to want to go to because you're going to walk in, see all these Cub fans and go, I'm out. Turn right back into your car and drive away. You're going to go to your favorite nice restaurant downtown, see all these Cub fans and go, never mind, I'll eat at home. And you're going to go back home. Yeah. It's going to be like that. I'm telling you, it is going to be like that. It's going to be that bad with Cub fans. So for me, Cubs, number one, not even remotely close. Number two on my list, Bears. Up until last year, I really didn't care about the Bears, to be honest with you. Didn't care one way or the other. Never had any run-ins necessarily with Bears fans one way or the other. Bears were never good enough to care about, so I didn't really care about the Bears. Just like you never cared about the Lions for majority of their life, because they've sucked forever. Now you care a little bit more because they're good. But last year, these Bear fans really irritated me. They irritated me because when Rodgers left and it was Jordan Love, they all jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, Jordan Love's going to suck. It's over. Y'all are going to be horrible forever. You'll never be able to find another Hall of Fame quarterback again. You got lucky with Favre and Rodgers. It's over. Now you're going to be like us, struggling to find a quarterback forever. And it was just a lot of run in the mouth. Yip, 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 yip. That's all it was on social media from Bears fans. And I just kind of shook my head. I was like, wow, they're all being really aggressive. I haven't seen Bear fans on social media coming at Packer fans maybe ever. But it was happening last year. And then the first half of the year happened, and they got louder. Oh, yeah. Pounding their chest. I told you he was awful. Ha, ha, ha. You're stuck. And then trying to tell Packer fans that Justin Fields was going to be better than Jordan Love. Again, comical. Either way, that was their belief and their want. By the end of the year, it became more quiet. There wasn't as many of them running their mouth anymore. And even the guys on the Score down in Chicago had to admit that, okay, yeah, he doesn't suck. Maybe he's pretty good. And yeah, nobody's going to call him a Hall of Famer, nor should you. But there has been more acceptance now of, okay, maybe they do have a good quarterback after all. But from what happened last offseason, they're number two in my world, right? So it's Cubs, it's Bears. Bulls, I do not care about. Don't care. White Sox, I cared about a lot as a kid because they were in the American League. And the Phil Garner Brewers and the Terry Bevington White Sox literally brawled every game they played against each other. I lived in Kenosha. We would have bus rides to those games. People would fight on the bus because there's a lot of Chicago fans that live in Kenosha because they move up from Illinois to live in the better state. So they move up here to come live. And then there's fights on the buses to and from the game. Bleacher fights left and right in those Brewers White Sox series. So back then, hated the White Sox. Now, don't care. So for me, once you get through Cubs and Bears, then we start talking more NBA for me. That's when we start talking more NBA. That's when we start talking about the Celtics. That's when we start talking about any team Jimmy Butler is on. That's when we start getting into my NBA teams. Now, I know for some of you, the NBA is not your thing. You don't care about the NBA. So maybe for you, you know, the Vikings are up there on that list still. And maybe the Lions have made your list of teams that you dislike. Where do the Cubs rank on your teams that you dislike? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And again, I'm anxious. I swear to you, If they come to Milwaukee on the 27th and people cheer for Council, I'm not going to handle it well. I'm just telling you right now. If that man does not get booed out of the stadium on the 27th, I'm not going to handle it well. I'm not. And I'm prepared for people to cheer for him because he's got a large group of people that support him, friends and family and so forth, and business acquaintances and everything else. To clarify, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Craig Council, the dude, outside the baseball field, ever. Always positive, always good things people said about Council. And that very well may be the case. But after everything that happened, there is no chance, no how, that if I go to that game on my birthday, that I am not booing the hell out of him. I might get front row seats just so I could sit and have...
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Right now.
Can you break down what happened when Freddie got ejected, what you saw and what the umps did?
Yeah, you know, I think it's best if I just don't say anything right now. I mean, that's the best way. I'm not trying to lawyer up or anything like that. I think it's best if we just leave it. There'll be a lot of commentary on it. I'm sure the league will look at it fully. I hope they get to look at it. I hope they have an audio of the thing, and then we'll just see what happens.
Where Freddie was so calm, though. Like, he didn't react, really. You know, it's like there were more reactions around him. Do you think, like, he understood why?
I'm not sure what went on with all that. I really am not. You know, all I can say is I just... I'm glad nobody got seriously hurt. And... you know, there's a lot of emotion in the game, and I think the way the game ended last night, there's a lot of emotion, and I think it lends itself to more emotion, you know. And then things happen between people. You don't know the history of everything. All I know is that I'm better off not saying anything because I need to think through it and talk through it and see what really happened and get all the facts before I represent the Brewers by making any comments or anything like that.
Smart, smart, smart. No question. That was a smart decision, obviously, by Pat Murphy. What he brings up about the backstory, I think there is a backstory between Siri and Uribe. Because Uribe, after the game, pretty much said Siri said something that had nothing to do pertaining to the game. And that's what got Uribe mad, and he whipped around and came back. Siri, through his translator, pretty much said it had something to do with, you know, why did you bump me at first base? And then he, like, Uribe kind of flipped his lid. So they're both telling two different stories. Uribe saying it has something to do with not even being necessarily on the baseball field. And Siri saying it has to do with them kind of bumping into each other at first base. Kevin Cash last night, the manager of the Rays, had this to say.
Tell us your perspective on what happened there at the end with Uribe and Jose Siri.
Yeah, look, I think that the ground ball happened. They might have made contact with each other when Jose was walking back. I think Jose asked him, why did you do that? And then to my knowledge, a punch was thrown. But I'm sure the guys will have more to say on it. I actually have not gone back and looked at it on video yet.
And then maybe the top of the sixth, they hit Siri with the pitch and then a couple ejections. Just what was your perspective on that?
I mean, look, Siri got a hold of one. Peralta had really thrown the ball well up to that point, commanding the baseball extremely well. 3-0, it raises suspicion.
So let me see if I got this right. So do we think that Peralta got to 3-0 on purpose so he could set it up to look like he lost control on that at bat and then drilled him. That's what we think happened? I shouldn't say we. That's what they think happened? They think Peralta intentionally got to 3-0 and then drilled him. With a ball, I can get dotted this dude in the ribs. That's not what happened. He didn't throw a ball up around his face. That's not what happened. As I said earlier, if he hits him with a breaking pitch, he does not get kicked out of that game. Maybe Guccione comes out and says warnings. Maybe. Because when they brought up to Guccione after the game about the other two guys that got hit in the game, his response was, oh, well, those were breaking pitches. Well, that's okay. So you can hit guys all night long with breaking pitches, and Guccione ain't going to bat an eye. I don't care. Let 10 guys get hit with breaking pitches. I'm not going to do nothing. Who cares? But if it's not a breaking pitch, that's where Guccione says, nope, not happening. Not on my watch. Out you go. No warning. What would have been the issue with giving a warning? Can you give me the downside? Like, that's... You get a pool reporter that gets to go talk to this umpire. And I don't know who it was. But whoever it was, that would have been my question to Guccione. Can you give me the downside of just giving Peralta a warning? Like, what's the negative? What's the worst case scenario? If you give Peralta the warning, you think that Tampa Bay comes out knowing that they're going to get kicked out if they throw at somebody, that they're going to come out and throw a fastball, being a Brewer, and then you're going to get that guy kicked out and you're going to have a fight. Was that the worst case scenario? If you just give him a warning? Because I got news for you. If they wanted to come back and bean somebody after Peralta beaned Siri, even though Peralta got kicked out, they still could have just came out and beaned somebody and got their pitcher kicked out. Either way, if retaliation was going to come, warning or not, it would have came if they wanted to retaliate. If Kevin Cash wanted that to happen, it could have happened. Or if some pitcher had hair up his butt and wanted to come out there and do something about it, he could have done something about it regardless of what happened to Peralta, warning or not. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're right. I mean, the exact quote from Guccione after the game to the pool report, he said, there are three options. You can do nothing, you can warn, and you can eject. Those are our three options. In this situation where we got together as a crew and determined that it was intentional, our only option is to eject in this situation.
No! Their only option is not! That is just BS! I'm sorry! Levering's in the booth and going, well, okay, I guess they're going to issue warnings. Rock, he's in the booth. Man played 100 years in Major League Baseball. He didn't go, well, they're probably going to kick him out, Jeff. He didn't see anything like that. He got kicked out, and even Rock was like, oh, that's not good. That's not good. It's horrible. And then Major League Baseball, of course, runs up behind their umpires and says, yep, we agree. And out they go. I really hope this stuff stops for the Cubs series. I don't really think I can take another one of these things for the Cubs series. I really don't. I don't think I can go through this again. Coming up next, I want to get into this Cubs series that's coming up on Friday. Just briefly. Just curious about something concerning this Cubs series. With Craig Counsell now as the manager of the Chicago Cubs, do the Cubs turn into the team you hate the most from the state of Illinois? Do the Cubs now become the team you hate the most? Because I think Bears have been one for quite some time. Then maybe the Cubs, then the Bulls, then the White Sox. Nobody cares about the Blackhawks, I don't think. Well, I mean, there are a lot of Angel fans. I don't care about the Blackhawks. Do the Cubs become the team, or have they become the team, with Counsell there, as the number one team that you hate from the state of Illinois? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM The Fan, served up by Wendy's. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan. See Sparky Fiver with you. Chicago Charlie. It's going to be a fun topic with him. Other side of the glass, Charlie Usen, producer of the show. Brewers and Cubs start a series coming up on Friday. So we have a day off tomorrow, and then it's Brewers and Cubs on Friday. My question is, with that Trader Council as manager of the Chicago Cubs now, for you as a sports fan, are the Chicago Cubs now the number one hated team in your sports fandom as we sit right now? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. The reason I bring it up is when Brett Favre ended up with the Vikings were everyone's number one hated team. As long as Brett was there, the Vikings were the team everyone hated the most because of how it all ended with Brett and the Packers. That's just how it was. Aaron Rodgers is with the Jets, like Favre was. Nobody cares about the Jets. Doesn't matter. If Aaron Rodgers somehow found his way back to the division and was quarterbacking the Lions, let's say, after this year, and Jared Goff goes on his way, and let's say the Lions end up with Aaron Rodgers, then more than likely the Lions would be the number one hated team in the division, more so than the Bears or the Vikings, if Rodgers was there. Again, because of how it ended. There isn't really a comparison to Bucks and Bulls other than Del Harris, who was the coach of the Bucks and then eventually the coach of the Bulls. But there wasn't that same type of emotional attachment to Del Harris as a coach as there was to Favre and Rodgers as players for the Green Bay Packers. So that comparison, not the same. This one here with Craig Council, I think there's a huge emotional attachment between fans and the man himself, Craig Council. Because again, this is the guy who said over and over again, hey man, I'm just like you. I grew up in the state, played ball here, got to go hang out at County Stadium with my dad who worked there, just like you. Brewers fan, dire Brewers fan, dreamed of playing for the Brewers. Then he got to manage the Brewers. And just like you, he turncoated and went over and managed the Cubs. Just like you would. Or not. Either way, my feelings towards the man, as you are well aware, are of disdain and anger towards Craig Council. And if I answer the question, it's undoubtedly the Chicago Cubs, as long as he is there. As long as he is the manager, they will be the number one hated team on my list, guaranteed, across all sports. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, you pick it. They are target number one. Enemy number one is that Chicago Cubs team managed by the Trader. Now, I'm curious by how many of you think the same way, or if you all think there's a different team, for your own personal reasons, that you hate more than the Cubs. Again, it can be an NBA team, NFL team, MLB team, doesn't matter. I just want to know where this council-led Cubs team ranks for you in terms of teams that you dislike as a sports fan. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. When Chicago Charlie started as my producer, he laid the lay of the land out for me for his fandom as a Chicago fan, even though he went to Brookfield Central and grew up in Wisconsin and still lives in Waukesha. He is, you know, screwed up because his father was a Chicago sports fan because he grew up outside of Wrigley, influenced his poor son, ruined his life. And now he's stuck rooting for all these teams, which is really an unfortunate thing. Nothing that Charlie could have controlled. That's why I can't be mad at Charlie. Having said that, put the lay of the land out there for everybody listening, for you as a Chicago sports fan, as far as the Wisconsin teams and how you rank them.
For like, as a Chicago fan, ranking my most hated Wisconsin teams, it's 100% the Packers. The Packers are at the top of that list for me.
And then what, the Cardinals? St. Louis Cardinals,
yeah,
or is it the Brewers? Or
probably the
else?
Cardinals. I just feel like the Brewers, as of recent. I think they're starting to climb up there just because it's starting to get more competitive between the two teams. But I would still have, it would be the Packers and the Cardinals second. And probably a jumble of the rest of the teams. Brewers third. The Cubs and Pirates have some beef too, though. That's the other thing. So if we're talking about just teams in the division, the Pirates might be up there as well.
The Pirates?
Yeah.
Really? See, we've had our issues with the Pirates over the course of time with the Brewers. Brewers used to have the sweep suits that they wore after a series in Pittsburgh, and then after that, it was curtains. Every time Milwaukee played Pittsburgh, it was horrible. It wasn't pretty, and the Brewers had their problems with them. We've had some scuffles. Remember the one Pirate player knocked over the sausage in the sausage race? That was a whole big thing as well. So, yeah, there's been some run-ins between the Brewers and Pirates, but in this division, I would say it's definitely Cardinals or Cubs 1, depending. Like, when La Russa was managing the Cardinals were definitely the number one hated team by the Brewer fans in this division. Not even close. And players like Jonathan Lucroy and those guys all hated La Russa too and hated the Cardinals and talked about it. Like, those two teams, when you had Pujols and those guys and you had T-Plush and Lucroy and those guys, they, Nigel Morgan, that's who T-Plush is. Those two teams realistically and really disliked each other. That was a thing. My thing with this Brewers-Cubs series that starts Friday in Chicago is Pat Murphy and Council have been boys forever. There's going to be no disdain between those two. It could be hugs and handshakes and asking how the families are and blah, blah, blah. That's what this is going to be on Friday, right? As far as bad blood between the two teams players-wise, impossible. There's too many new faces on both teams. Pete Crow Armstrong is playing over there. Michael Bush, who they got in a deal in the offseason, he's their starting first baseman, playing out of his mind right now. He's a new face. The Brewers have all a bunch of kids up from the minors playing up at the major league roster this year. There are no more Zambranos. There are no more Ramos Ramirez's, who actually played for both teams. None of those guys. William Contreras, he's not there. Or Wilson Contreras, he's not there anymore. There really isn't anybody left from a Brewers fan perspective to have beef with as far as the on-the-field item goes, right? There aren't those guys that you hate. Dansby Swanson? What's there to hate about Dansby Swanson? Other than he married my favorite girl soccer player. Other than that, what's there really to hate about Dansby Swanson, right? Who else is on that team? I don't really think there's anybody there. You know, people hated Javi Baez. Hated Javi Baez. He's long gone, right? Rizzo, Brian, I don't know if anybody really ever hated Rizzo or Brian, but those would be two other guys that were really good back in the day that Brewers fans may have not have liked. So now, if you're going to get down and really dislike the Chicago Cubs, it's going to be because of Council. That's it. And both teams are battling for first place at this point. So from that perspective, there is a battle between the two for supremacy in the division or whatever, even though it's early in the season. Now, they come to Milwaukee for the first time, not for a couple of weeks. May 27th is their first game at American Family Field. You know how bad that's going to be? If you all don't like Council now, and you all go, oh, he's so nice. He was so nice. He signed a ball for me years ago, and he was such a nice young gentleman. Oh, fine. But if you think Cub fans invaded our park before, you haven't seen anything yet. With Council managing, you're going to see Council Cub jerseys all over that park all weekend long. They're going to be walking in downtown Milwaukee. They're going to be at the bars you want to go to and you're not going to want to go to because you're going to walk in, see all these Cub fans and go, I'm out. Turn right back into your car and drive away. You're going to go to your favorite nice restaurant downtown, see all these Cub fans and go, never mind, I'll eat at home. And you're going to go back home. Yeah. It's going to be like that. I'm telling you, it is going to be like that. It's going to be that bad with Cub fans. So for me, Cubs, number one, not even remotely close. Number two on my list, Bears. Up until last year, I really didn't care about the Bears, to be honest with you. Didn't care one way or the other. Never had any run-ins necessarily with Bears fans one way or the other. Bears were never good enough to care about, so I didn't really care about the Bears. Just like you never cared about the Lions for majority of their life, because they've sucked forever. Now you care a little bit more, because they're good. But last year, these Bear fans really irritated me. They irritated me because when Rodgers left and it was Jordan Love, they all jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, Jordan Love's going to suck. It's over. Y'all are going to be horrible forever. You'll never be able to find another Hall of Fame quarterback again. You got lucky with Favre and Rodgers. It's over. Now you're going to be like us, struggling to find a quarterback forever. And it was just a lot of run in the mouth. Yip, 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 yip. That's all it was on social media from Bears fans. And I just kind of shook my head. I was like, wow, they're all being really aggressive. I haven't seen Bear fans on social media coming at Packer fans maybe ever. But it was happening last year. And then the first half of the year happened, and they got louder. Oh, yeah. Pounding their chest. I told you he was awful. Ha, ha, ha. You're stuck. And then trying to tell Packer fans that Justin Fields was going to be better than Jordan Love. Again, comical. Either way, that was their belief and their want. By the end of the year, it became more quiet. There wasn't as many of them running their mouth anymore. And even the guys on the Score down in Chicago had to admit that, okay, yeah, he doesn't suck. Maybe he's pretty good. And yeah, nobody's going to call him a Hall of Famer, nor should you. But there has been more acceptance now of, okay, maybe they do have a good quarterback after all. But from what happened last offseason, they're number two in my world, right? So it's Cubs, it's Bears. Bulls, I do not care about. Don't care. White Sox, I cared about a lot as a kid because they were in the American League. And the Phil Garner Brewers and the Terry Bevington White Sox literally brawled every game they played against each other. I lived in Kenosha. We would have bus rides to those games. People would fight on the bus because there's a lot of Chicago fans that live in Kenosha because they move up from Illinois to live in the better state. So they move up here to come live. And then there's fights on the buses to and from the game. Bleacher fights left and right in those Brewers White Sox series. So back then, hated the White Sox. Now, don't care. So for me, once you get through Cubs and Bears, then we start talking more NBA for me. That's when we start talking more NBA. That's when we start talking about the Celtics. That's when we start talking about any team Jimmy Butler is on. That's when we start getting into my NBA teams. Now, I know for some of you, the NBA is not your thing. You don't care about the NBA. So maybe for you, you know, the Vikings are up there on that list still. And maybe the Lions have made your list of teams that you dislike. Where do the Cubs rank on your teams that you dislike? 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And again, I'm anxious. I swear to you, if they come to Milwaukee on the 27th and people cheer for Council, I'm not going to handle it well. I'm just telling you right now. If that man does not get booed out of the stadium on the 27th, I'm not going to handle it well. I'm not. And I'm prepared for people to cheer for him because he's got a large group of people that support him, friends and family and so forth, and business acquaintances and everything else. To clarify, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Craig Council, the dude, outside the baseball field, ever. Always positive, always good things people said about Council. And that very well may be the case. But after everything that happened, there is no chance, no how, that if I go to that game on my birthday, that I am not booing the hell out of him. I might get front row seats just so I could sit and hassle him from the dugout. And he knows who I am, so that'll be even more fun. That'd be even great. It'd be even a more fun time. No, I'm mad. I am beyond mad about how this whole thing played out with this situation here. All right, so yesterday, before we get to the next timeout, was day number two with Prize Picks. Day number two. Let's go over the results, Charlie, of day number two with Prize Picks. Now, again, if you don't know what Prize Picks is, it's America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Last 2 days, It's not been the case. But before this, at one point here in the last couple months, I had won four or five in a row, and I was feeling good about things. And then I took a little bit of a break before we started doing this show, and we were going to do them live in the show. I said, all right, I'll take a little bit of a break. And then when we start doing them live, we can do them every day on the show and see if we can get on a run while we're doing the show. That was kind of the thought. All you do is you download the app, use code Sparky, S-P-A-R-K-Y, for our first deposit match up to $100. That's code Sparky on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's really just that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. So yesterday was another situation where we were going to give it a run. Monday, it was Charlie's day, and we lost. We lost. Yesterday was my day, and we lost again. Yeah, it's true. We lost again yesterday. So now, here we sit, and we're going to try it again coming up today. Yesterday, Bobby Portis, we did less than 36.5 points, rebounds, assists. He was at 40. We did Dante DiVincenzo more than 12.5 points. He scored 9. Technically, this thing is still open, but we've already lost two of the three, so it does not matter what James Harden does tonight, in which case we had more than 17.5. So it was not a pretty thing. All right, so here we go again. Day three. Instead of doing three, Charlie, let's do two and see if we can get one to win.
Fair enough.
Okay, so let's ride the James Harden train again. More than 17.5. We're good with that?
Yeah, I think there's no Kawhi tonight, so I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that. Al Horford against Miami. The number is 21 points, rebounds, and assists. More or less. Bam Adebayo, 1.5 blocks plus steals. More or less. I feel like that's a good one to say more on for Bam Adebayo, especially without Porzingis in there and nobody to deal with him inside.
Yeah, I think that's probably safest bet. Adebayo's one of the best defensive players in the league. I don't think you can go wrong with that.
So more for Bam Adebayo, as well as more for James Harden. So we're going to go with that finalized entry. And again, it's just more or less. It's all it is. It's just more or less. And if you do that well, you know, you win some money, have some money rolling in. So we'll see how this goes. That is our entry for today with Prize Picks. Again, download it today. Use code Sparky for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code Sparky on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.